Game over. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review, and the early markets for next weekend with Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
Yes, welcome to the latest edition of the Footy Wrap with a betting flavour. You're with Andrew Hughes. Adam White joins us to look back at the ramifications of the weekend's football. How are you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Andrew. We've got to the end of round nine, so it's going quickly, isn't it? And I think we're now starting to get a pretty clear picture of things when it comes to premiership contenders. I reckon it's funny, it's sort of gone. We're almost back where we started the season, I think. When we look at the ladder, the way it's set up at the moment, there's one big casualty, obviously, in Melbourne. But apart from that, I think the cream is starting to rise to the top, and we're starting to see some clear gaps in the ladder. You look at the top two, then probably the top six, with one sort of floater in that top six. But really, I think things are starting to make a lot more sense after such a crazy start to the year.
Well, let's start with the positive. Geelong, I think you said at the start of the year those wins they had with a really tough draw would be a bit of a banker for them, but now they just keep on winning. And I know that Collingwood are up there in the tab markets with them, but are Geelong now the team to beat?
Oh, look, I've felt that for a while, Andrew, and I think it's worth remembering that Geelong did beat Collingwood, albeit in round one. They did beat them. They were able to stop Collingwood's run and that midfield power in that opening round of the season. Now, I think it's fair to say that things have changed a little bit, particularly from a Collingwood perspective since then, but it does count for a fair bit. But if you look at what they've done now, through a tough start to the year, to be seeing it 8-1, a game clear on top of the ladder, but importantly, two games clear inside the top four with a good percentage, and they're now starting to profit on a draw that sort of opened up a little bit for them. I made the comment last week against North Melbourne. I felt they didn't really get out of second or third gear whenever North Melbourne kind of got close. The Cats were able to kick clear quite easily, sort of go through the gears a little bit, but really not getting past third. It was a bit the same against the Bulldogs. I think at times the Bulldogs did worry Geelong, but again, when it mattered, they were able to kick clear in what was, I thought, one of the better games I've seen over the last month or so. So, Kelly didn't have much to do in the game. Selwood started well but went out of the game. Obviously, Dangerfield got injured. So they had a few things that didn't necessarily go their way. But this is the new Geelong, I think. They play a real team-orientated brand of footy. They get a lot of contributors, and it means that their best players don't have to play well at the same time for them to get a good result, which I think has been Geelong's issue a little bit in the last couple of years. So I thought they were very good. And then packaging up the Cats with the Magpies, again, quite similar. It's for Collingwood, again, like against Carlton, they weren't at their best, but when they needed to play well, they were able to get separation on the scoreboard between themselves and St Kilda. And I thought, for large portions of the match, Collingwood weren't great. But gee, when they needed to be good, particularly in the last quarter against St Kilda, they showed how powerful they can be. And considering so many teams are struggling to score, I think it was really notable that both Geelong and Collingwood clearly went over 100 points. And while they weren't playing against teams that are currently inside the top eight, I just think it shows the scoring power they've got, the midfield power that they've got. They've got weapons a lot of the other teams just simply don't have.
Yes, as you say, the Bulldogs seem to be in the contest, not maybe to a winning point, but they were thereabouts, and St Kilda were certainly with the Magpies. At the end of the day, they both win by the over 40.5 bracket at Tab, the over 39.5, so both easily cover the line. Tab have Geelong, Adam, at 350 as we speak. They have Collingwood at 375 for the premiership, so there's no doubt these two sides seem to be a little bit above the rest of the pack. What about against each other? If they had a full list available and they were playing next week, what would you be saying?
Yeah, I'd still be with Geelong, and I don't really know the way they would set the odds. But both teams are fairly healthy at the moment. Collingwood are sort of losing a couple around the edges. A couple of key players, for example, like Taylor Adams. But they've got plenty of midfielders to cover, and their forwards, they seem to be missing one or two at a time, but they've got plenty of coverage as well. So, yeah, I think that I just like Geelong. I think they're a bit more complete. I trust their defence a little bit more. I trust their ability to stop the opposition from scoring a little bit more. but I don't think there's too much in it. But what I do think is that there is a clear gap between the top two and everybody else. And, you know, we're not going to know now for a while because a lot of the top teams don't play each other for a while. So this is where Geelong and Collingwood, I made this comment a few weeks ago, this is where these two sides can really get separation on the rest of the competition. And, you know, you look at Geelong, they've got Gold Coast this week coming, and then they've got, that is away, but then they've got Sydney at home, and then they've got Richmond, which will be a good game on a Friday night. That's their next three. Collingwood have got Sydney away, and then they've got Fremantle at home, and then they've got Melbourne. So, you know, based on what we've seen, I can't see those two sides losing their next three, which will just, again, just keep them ahead of everybody else, regardless of what anyone else actually does do.
Richmond, interesting. The Tab keep on giving them as backable odds for the premiership. They're $7. They're double the price of Geelong Collingwood. And in recent weeks, we keep on waiting for them to be either upset or lose as an outsider. On Sunday, they started close to $1.80 at Tab. As we speak, in the end, they win pretty easily. So what do you make of the Tigers, Adam?
Yeah, look, I'm going to package Richmond and West Coast up here together for different reasons. I think what they're doing is that Richmond are not at their best from a personnel point of view, yet they find themselves in fifth spot on the ladder with the win-loss ratio of 6-3. And I think they would be delighted with that, considering what they're doing without so many really important players. West Coast, they've got most of their best players there. They're missing a couple of important role players, but most of their players are there. They're not playing very well, but they're also 6-3. And I think that that's really, you can look at it two ways. That when they get going really well, look out for everybody else because they've still got themselves into a strong spot, or they're just lucky to get away with a few games at the moment. I've sort of got a bit each way on West Coast, but the reality is 6-3 shows to me that the standard of the competition isn't particularly good, that they can be that and play the way they're playing at the moment. And when you look at their next three, I think they've got a really important game this week. It's probably the game of the round in a lot of ways because it's West Coast against Adelaide, that game at the Adelaide Oval. Then the Eagles have got Western Bulldogs at home, and then they've got Sydney away. So, you know, they can, again, they can keep themselves well ahead of 500, if you like, and very easily be 7-4 or 8-3 when they get to their bye without playing their best football. And as I said before, Andrew, that to me, he could take a lot of positives out of that, considering they're average at the moment with the way they're playing. I think Melbourne should have beaten them. They had plenty of chances in the first half. They didn't have a lot of luck late, but in a lot of ways, they kind of cost themselves Melbourne with air and accurate kicking in the first half. But Richmond and West Coast, you know, two of the strong teams we thought going into the season, again, for different reasons, they're not at their best, but they're still sitting fifth and sixth on the ladder at the moment.
We'll talk about Carlton separately in a moment. They are a story, of course, with the way they played. So, in a way, Giants did not have much to beat. Last week you said, that's it, you're off the Giants, you've had enough of them. They did bounce back as expected, and you did say that them to cover the line bet looked to be one of the best bets at Tab in early markets, and they romped it in, as we know. So, do you win anything back from them and from respect on that easy kill on Sunday?
Exactly, it was an easy kill. So the only thing they got out of it was they had a percentage booster. They got Lachie Whitfield back into the team, which is a good thing, and he played unbelievably well because he missed the last few with injury. But no, there's nothing to gain out of that apart from that percentage booster. It's all about what Giants do when they go away from home and when they play against quality opposition. They've got an interesting game this week coming up against Melbourne. Clearly, Melbourne are playing better since they had that shocking start. As I said before, in a lot of ways, they really should have beaten West Coast last week. So they're going to be hard to beat, I think, against the Giants. They've got this horrendous record at the MCG, but they've then got Gold Coast and then they've got Adelaide, that game away. So they've got a bit of a mixed draw, the Giants, but I think they're a top four or five team, but until they can win against quality opposition away from home on a regular basis. They did beat Geelong down in Geelong. Geelong's only lost for the year, and that was really good, but they've got to do it on a more regular basis before I trust them as being a genuine premiership contender.
And Adam, maybe grouping the sides that look as though they might play finals, but perhaps are big odds to win the premiership at Tab and fighting for the mix between maybe 5 and 8, talking about the Crows, maybe the Brisbane Lions, Essendon, Port. What do you make of the ones that probably realistically still have a very good chance of playing finals, but probably won't be any markets for the premiership in many people's eyes?
Yeah, the short answer is I'm not really too sure. As I said before, I think you can put in Geelong, Collingwood, the Giants, Richmond and West Coast as your clear top five. And then I think after that, it's anyone's guess from 6th down to 12th. So I know Brisbane, that was a real, we should mention, it was a really good win from Brisbane to beat Adelaide. That was a real test for me to see whether the Lions were anything better than a team that might win 8 games for the year, had that really good start, and then just come back to the pack. But they did get out by nearly 5 goals there before the Crows kicked those late ones, but it would have been a complete theft had Adelaide beaten them at the end. I thought that was a really commendable victory from Brisbane and shows they're a bit better than I actually thought they were. And the Lions have got Fremantle away. That'll be a test. And then they've got Hawthorn at home and Carlton. So, and that one away. So, you know, the draw is still okay if you look at their next month. But Brisbane, Adelaide, Port Adelaide, Fremantle, Essendon, Hawthorn and the Bulldogs, they could fall anyway. I really aren't too sure. Based on what I've seen from all of those in the last month, I actually would say that the Bulldogs are playing as good a football as any of those teams that I mentioned. And they're currently in 12th spot at the moment with a 4-5 win-loss ratio. Their top 8 odds are $4.50 with North Melbourne. Then they've got Eagles away and then they've got the bye. To me, they're the team that looks most likely out of that group to be inside those last 3 spots that I mentioned. Essendon kept their season alive against Fremantle, and I think it was as dramatic as that. I think had the Bombers lost to the Dockers, they didn't play very well, but they still got the win. Had they lost that, I think their season was pretty much over. They've got Richmond in the Dreamtime game this week, and then they've got Carlton. Look, I don't think they can beat Richmond, even though the Tigers have got injuries, just based on how Essendon's playing at the moment. But I think Essendon, Hawthorn, and probably Fremantle, and then throwing the Dogs as well, they're all just going to be oscillating inside, outside the 8 for the rest of the year. So looking at it purely and simply from a betting point of view, because I don't know how it'll finish, I think it's impossible to tell, I'd be looking at teams like Fremantle and the Bulldogs at the odds and trying to sort of, you know, trade in, trade out, because I think Bulldogs at 450 and Fremantle 370, these are approximate odds. I'd much prefer to be on those two teams. And even Hawthorn at 265, as much as I thought they were very disappointing yesterday, I prefer to be on those teams rather than Brisbane at $1.45, Adelaide $1.60, and Port Adelaide $1.80. Just purely and simply on the fact that I can't separate all the teams and I'm looking at that from a value perspective.
The Footy Wrap with Andrew Hughes, Adam White in a moment. Adam's thoughts on the upcoming games. The early markets are tab in our remaining 8 to 10 minutes. Just finally, a word about Carlton. Now, we know that the Giants were going to come back hard. We know that at tab, the Giants were one of the shortest price favourites at the markets. We know they had a huge line to cover. You said they'd romp in. So everything we thought might happen did. But that's still no excuse for justifying why Carlton themselves, who would have known this was going to happen, had absolutely no show of any chance of stopping it happening, Adam.
Yeah, look, we spoke about this on the breakfast show. And I look at it this way, Andrew. I just don't think Carlton is very good. And if you look at, they don't have enough good players, and they certainly don't have enough good experienced players. So when the Giants hit them between the eyes in the first 15 or 20 minutes, they just couldn't respond. They lost their structure, they lost all confidence, and it just completely unraveled. They lost Mark Murphy in the first 15, 20 minutes. He's the former captain. They don't have Cade Simpson. They don't have Sam Doherty in defence. Outside Patrick Cripps, who is well held by Matt DeBoer, who are their leaders? They just don't have any. They're all young players. A lot of them have got a lot of talent, but they're still not bona fide AFL footballers at this stage, most of them. So I think you've got to take a step back with Carlton and look at it through a broader lens and say they've been competitive in most matches that they've played. They had a bad one against North Melbourne. They fought back and played really well against Collingwood. Now they've had another bad one against the Giants. To me, the loss against North Melbourne was worse than the one against the Giants. I just think the Giants, if you look at their midfield up against Carlton's midfield, even though Canelio wasn't playing, and also Callan Ward. They just had far too much class and they're far too seasoned for Carlton, who they're putting Paddy Dow through the, you know, Lockie O'Brien, Pachevsky Seaton to a lesser extent, Walsh. They're all really young players and they just got completely smashed. So if I'm a Carlton supporter, I'm looking at it through a broader lens and say, you know what, we were really competitive against Collingwood a week ago. I'll be focusing on that to say that they've made advancements rather than what happened against the Giants. Now, having said that, if this was to become a regular thing over the next sort of, you know, couple of months where there was two or three hammerings to the same extent as what we saw against the Giants, then I think there's problems for Brendan Bolton. But I don't think we're quite there yet. Now, I keep going back to what happened with Hawthorn when Alistair Clarkson took over. You know, first couple of years, they were getting absolutely hammered at times. And you start to think, you know, does Alistair Clarkson actually know what he's doing? And then all of a sudden it clicked. The difference for Brendan Bolton, and this is the concern, I think, for him, is that he's now been there 4 years. This is now his team. And I think we are now at the point where he needs, for his own safety, to start seeing better results than we're seeing. I think he can only play the patience game for so long. You know, we saw this from Brisbane last year. You know, remember they against Richmond, Andrew, they could hardly score. And then they just started to come good in the sort of back half of the year. That's the challenge now for Brendan Bolton and this Carlton team, because I think the Blues fans are losing patience because this isn't just the first year of a rebuild. They've been going through this now for quite some time.
Now, just relating to TAB markets, they described the bet as the most losses. That's due to points deductions over some history in sports, so they're just cautious. So the terminology is called most losses. So it's actually not the wooden spoon. So you could have a situation where two teams could sit on the bottom of the table and you'd get half your ticket or so on. Carlton's $1.75 for the most losses. They've had 8 losses at the moment. North are on 7 losses. Gold Coast, 6 losses. So right now that means that Carlton have to win 2 games just to move ahead of those for you to lose the bet. What do you make of that market, Adam? I know they'll play each other, so that'll come down to what will decide this TAB market. What's your feeling there? It's $1.75 Carlton. It's
so what are the Suns?
The Suns are actually the $3 second favourite, $5 north, because the Gold Coast Suns have only 6 losses. So right now, for Gold Coast to lose that bet or to win that bet, Carlton would have to find three more wins to go ahead of them.
I still think Carlton will get a couple more. One or two more. So I certainly think North Melbourne will win more than... They won't finish below Carlton.
Right.
So to me, it is out of home. It's out of Carlton or Gold Coast, which is what it was at the start. Gold Coast clearly have been more competitive than I thought they'd be, but they're playing a bit differently to Carlton. You know, they're playing to stay in contest for as long as they can, and you saw that against Port Adelaide. That at half time, you think, gee, Port Adelaide might lose this because Gold Coast, are playing the way they play. They're very hard to watch, but Port Adelaide, to their credit, found a way in the second half to sort of unlock what the Suns were trying to do. Mm. Now, I think Gold Coast are going to play that like that all year. I can't see the Suns winning too many more games, but for Carlton to get past them, Andrew, you're right, they're going to have to win 3 or 4, and that's probably unlikely.
It's RSN 927's Footy Wrap.
All right, let's talk about winners. It's hard to actually talk about losers. We've got about 7 minutes or so to wrap it up on the Footy Wrap. So a quick thought on all of these early markets. When I say early, they've been up for a few days. But for next weekend's round of football, Sydney and Collingwood, Adam. Sydney are 3.25, Collingwood 1.34, and a line of 30 points. In 20 points, in fact.
Down there. They're the one team that have been able to beat North Melbourne on more than one occasion. But from a young I think stack up that midfield against Collingwood. As much as I think Collingwood pace of the compared to the SCG, I think it's going to be too much class for Collingwood, and I think they'll win. Look, the last 30 points, I think City can be competitive. They have been every game that they've played, but I reckon the margin Collingwood at least to start the weekend just to win, or maybe try a bit over 16.5 points.
All right, Collingwood the win. Just move to the left or right because the market tab for your phone cutting out has just come in a fraction. Hawthorn 165, Port 225, a line of six. I like Port here initially.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I must confess I'm with Hawthorn. And now, I've been with Hawthorn quite a few times this year and they've burnt me a couple of times. I was really disappointed, actually, by Hawthorn against Richmond. I tipped Hawthorn to beat the Tigers, and I thought that largely that was going to be due to the ruck dominance they should have had. Now, they lost McAvoy before halftime. And again, Hawthorn, I mean, they don't help themselves with the way that, particularly against Richmond, that they just didn't take the chances they should have taken. I think in general play, Hawthorn was with the Tigers for most of the day, but too many missed opportunities. But when they lost McAvoy, the potential to dominate stoppages, it did make it harder for them. So I think their form's okay. As Alistair Clarkson said, they've been in virtually every game they've played. They get a couple of injuries, and I don't think that would have made the difference between winning and losing, but certainly would have, I think, kept the teams closer together against Richmond. So for me, against a young Port Adelaide travelling down to Tasmania, I think it looks like Port Adelaide will get Robbie Gray back and maybe a couple of others, but I'm still with Hawthorn.
All right, we'll see what happens. Bulldogs 155, North 245, 10 points the line.
Now, I like the Bulldogs here. I think the odds are about right. In fact, I would have had the Dogs a little bit shorter. As I said, I really like what the Dogs are doing over the last 2 or 3 weeks. In fact, even maybe a month after that horrible loss against Carlton, they've been significantly better. And as gallant as North Melbourne was coming back into the game against Sydney late, I think the Bulldogs and the midfield that is working really well at the moment as a group, I think that's why they'll be too good for North Melbourne.
Huge game, the next one. Adelaide 175, West Coast 205.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier, didn't we? I mean, this is a big game. I'm probably leaning towards West Coast. The West Coast have done pretty well at Adelaide Oval at times against both teams, both Port Adelaide and the Crows. Neither team going with a lot of great footy, it must be said. Now, I know that Adelaide has won, what, 3 or 4 in a row before that game against Brisbane, but it was more who they were playing rather than their own form. And I reckon they sort of came back to reality with not being able to beat Brisbane. So, to me, West Coast, even though they're not playing well, I prefer to be with the value of the Eagles rather than Adelaide at home that have been only fair.
All right, we move on to the next game. Just having a look at my screen, updating, in fact. And let's have a look. It's Frio and Brisbane, and Frio $1.70, Brisbane $2.15.
Yeah, I'm with Fremantle here, back at home. The Dockers have been a bit disappointing in the last two. But maybe we're not giving enough credit to Richmond, who... You know, we keep talking about Richmond as a team that's quite vulnerable at the moment because of who they're missing, but the players that are playing, they're actually playing really good footy, and then they really took it up to Essendon away from home with Essendon all to play for and just come up. They just came up short, but again, they weren't poor. Brisbane, I'm starting to lose a bit of faith in my own judgment here with Brisbane. I still don't think they're a really good team, and I think Fremantle at home should be too strong, and I'd have them shorter than the odds that are currently on offer.
Of course, there's about 4 games before you get to that game to bet on, because I jumped the gun there. Gold Coast to 5.50, Geelong 1.15. My screen was updating. Geelong $1.15, Gold Coast 5.50, a line of 32. Some might say that 1.15 was a gimme. Mind you, Labor were $1.15 in the politics, but... I would have thought Geelong would be almost, well, that looks a one-way traffic game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, Suns are always very competitive at home, but against Geelong, with the amount of quality they've got and how they're playing, I just can't see how they'll be able to get close to the Cats.
Richmond-Essendon, Dreamtime at the G, 140, Richmond-Essendon, $3. Suddenly Richmond returned to being a short price favourite after a number of weeks when they've been hovering around just fraction odds on or even money. So Essendon at $3.16. You're about to tell me this is a huge game maybe for Essendon.
Oh, I think it's a big game for both clubs, Andrew. I certainly think that Essendon here is the value. Now, you would have known this year, Andrew, that when we've had this discussion, most weeks I've gone against the Bombers because in quite a few games they've just come up far too short. And I go on the basis that you just can't trust Essendon. But this is a bit different because it's a bit of a free swing for the Bombers. No one will, a lot of people won't expect them to be able to beat Richmond. Back at the MCG, though, with Richmond, the players that they have out, they are certainly vulnerable, and Essendon does get a good chance. They get Richmond at a good time from a personnel point of view. But as I've said a few times in our chat today, don't underestimate how well Richmond's playing. So it's sort of, you can look at it a couple of different ways, but really Essendon doesn't get a better chance to meet the Tigers in this Dreamtime game if you look back over the last couple of years. And I think, you know, Essendon really don't have any excuses. If they see themselves as a top six team, I don't think they are, but if they see themselves as a top six team, they should be going there on Saturday night thinking that they can win. I think $3 definitely is over the odds.
And just quickly, Melbourne 275, Giants 145, 13 the line.
Yeah, again, I wouldn't be touching the Giants at that price at the MCG considering how poorly they've played the ground. And I do think Melbourne have been a lot better the last few weeks. So I think Melbourne's a definite chance in that game. I wouldn't mind waiting until we see the Melbourne's team to see who they actually get back. But if the Demons put up what they did against West Coast, I think they're a bit of a chance there as well.
And St Kilda 140, Carlton 285.
Yeah, with St Kilda, but again, I wouldn't be taking, you know, that old rule I had, Andrew, you don't put money on bad teams when they're odds on. This is certainly the case here. St Kilda's probably, I'm being a bit unfair, St Kilda, they're probably a bit better than a bad team, but a team that, you know, they're okay. I wouldn't be taking $1.45 even though it's against Carlton in that one.
Be lots more discussion over the days ahead on the Breakfast Club and, of course, all of our different formats. Thanks for taking the call and thanks for having a chat, Adam.
Anytime, Andrew.
You can hear the Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.